26. To General E. I. Totleben. Eduard Totleben, 1818-84, the distinguished soldier and engineer, builder of the fortifications of Sebastopol, which resisted the United Armies for 12 months. Semipalatinsk, March the 24th, 1856. Your Excellency Eduard Ivanovich, forgive me for daring to ask your attention to this letter. I fear that when you see the signature and my name, which you may indeed have forgotten, though many, many years ago I had the honour of being known to you, you will be angry with me and toss the letter aside without reading it. I beg for your indulgence. You might well rebuke me if I failed to realize the quite unfathomable gulf between my position and yours. But I have gone through too many sorrowful experiences in my life to be capable of overlooking that gulf. I know very well indeed that I have no right whatever to remind you that you once knew me, and thus to make even the shadow of a claim on your attention. But I am so unhappy that, almost against my will, I must yield to the hope that you will not close your heart to an unfortunate exile, and will grant him a moment's attention. I have requested Baron Alexander Wrangel to take you this letter. During his stay in Semipalatinsk, he has done more for me than my own brother could have done. His friendship made me happy. He knows all my circumstances. I begged him to take you this letter in person. He will do so, although I could not tell him with any conviction that you would receive the letter indulgently. Such doubts are easily comprehensible in the heart of a one-time prisoner. I have a great favour to ask of you, and only a faint hope that you will hear me. Perhaps you have heard something of my arrest, my trial, and the supreme ratification of the sentence which was given in the case concerning me in the year 1849. Perhaps you also bestowed some attention on my fate. I base that supposition on the fact that I once was great friends with your brother, Adolf Ivanovich. As a child, even, I loved him very sincerely. Although of late years I have not come in contact with him, I am still sure that he pitied me, and perhaps told you something of my sad story. I dare not take up your time with an account of my trial. I was guilty and am very conscious of it. I was convicted of the intention, but only the intention, of acting against the government. I was lawfully and quite justly condemned. The hard and painful experiences of the ensuing years have sobered me and altered my views in many respects. But then, while I was still blind, I believed in all the theories and utopias. When I went to Siberia, I had at least the one comfort of having borne myself honestly before the tribunal, of not having tried to shift my guilt on others, and even of having sacrificed my own interests, if thereby I thought I could save those others. But I was at that time still convinced of the truth of my opinions. I would not confess all, and so was the more sternly punished. Previously, I had suffered for 2 years from a strange moral disease. I had fallen into hypochondria. There was a time when I even lost my reason. I was exaggeratedly irritable, had a morbidly developed sensibility, and the power of distorting the most ordinary events into things immeasurable. But I felt that though this disease had had a really evil influence upon my destiny, it was, nevertheless, a poor and even a degrading excuse for me. And I was not so entirely convinced, either, that it had had that influence. Forgive these details. Be generous and hear me further. I went to prison. 4 sad, terrible years. My companions were criminals. Men quite without human emotions and with perverted morals. For those 4 years I beheld nothing uplifting, only the blackest and ugliest realities. I had not one single being within reach with whom I could exchange a cordial word. I endured hunger, cold, sicknesses. I suffered from the hard labours and the hatred of my companions, the criminals, who bore me a grudge for being an officer and a well-born person. And yet I swear to you that none of these torments was greater than that which I felt when I realized my errors, and saw in that banishment I was cut off from my fellow creatures and unable to serve them with all my powers, desires, and capacities. I know that I was punished for my ideas and theories. But ideas and even convictions alter, nay, one's very self alters. Thus it is very grievous for me to be now expiating things that are no more, that have, indeed, actually in me, turned to their very contraries. To be suffering for my former errors, which I now perceive in all their folly, to feel that I have the power and the talent to do something which would really atone for the worthlessness of my earlier activities, and yet to languish in impotence. I am now a soldier. I am serving at Semipalatinsk, and this summer was promoted to the rank of non-commissioned officer. I know that many people felt and feel genuine sympathy for me. They have exerted themselves on my behalf, have restored me to hope, and still do much to solace me. The monarch is kind and compassionate. Lastly, I know that it goes very hard with anyone who undertakes to prove that an unlucky man is capable of doing something worthwhile if the proof should fail. But I can do something worthwhile. I am not, indeed I am not, without talent, feeling, and principle. I have a great favour to ask of you, Eduard Ivanovich. Only one thing troubles me. I have not the least right to worry you about my affairs. But you have a great noble heart. I may say this frankly, for you have recently proved it to all the world. Moreover, I long since had the happiness, longer since than others, of forming for myself that opinion of you. I had long learnt to esteem you. A word from you now can accomplish much with our gracious monarch, who is grateful to you and loves you. Think of the poor exile and help him. I want to employ myself usefully. When one has spiritual and mental powers which one cannot turn to account, one suffers deeply from inactivity. For the military career, I am not fitted. I earnestly desire, so far as in me lies, to do my utmost therein. But I am sickly and feel strongly desirous of another sphere of action more suited to my capabilities. My dearest wish would be to be released from military service and to enter the civil service somewhere in European Russia, or even here, and also to have some liberty of choice as to my place of abode. But neither form of state service do I regard as the real purpose of my life. Some years ago, the public gave me a very hearty and encouraging welcome in the literary sphere. I very much desire permission to publish my works. And there are precedents for this. Many political offenders have been graciously pardoned and given permission to write and print. I have always considered the calling of an author to be an honourable and useful one. I am certain that in that sphere alone I can do valuable work. Therein I could attract attention, retrieve my good name, and make my life to some extent easier. For I possess nothing but this assured, though possibly quite modest, literary talent. But I should like to say, quite frankly, besides the honest desire to change my present lot for one that will better correspond with my talents, another circumstance, upon which perhaps the happiness of my whole life depends, he hints here at his projected marriage, it is a wholly personal matter, has given me courage to turn to you and recall myself to your mind. But of course, I am not asking for everything at once. I am asking only for the possibility of giving up the military and entering the civil service. Read this, my prayer, but do not call me poor-spirited. I have suffered much, and by the very fact that I have borne so many sorrows have proved my patience and a certain degree of bravery. But now I have lost courage. I realize that myself. I used always to think it cowardly to trouble anyone, whoever it might be, with my affairs, and now I trouble you. But I implore you to have mercy on me. Till now I have borne my misfortune patiently. Now I have broken down under the weight of circumstances and have resolved to make this attempt. It is nothing but an attempt. I swear to you that the thought of writing to you and importuning you never occurred to me before. It would have been painful and difficult to me to recall myself to you. In an enthusiastic and wholly unself-seeking spirit, I have lately followed your heroic career. If you knew with what delight I spoke of you to others, you would believe me. If you knew with what pride I declared that I had the honour of knowing you personally. When your glorious deeds were recounted here, I was overwhelmed with questions about you, and it was a joy to me that I was able to tell of you. I do not fear to write this to you. Your deeds are so great that even these words can hardly appear as flattery. The bearer of this letter will be able to tell you how sincere and unself-seeking are my feelings towards you. The gratitude of a Russian towards him who, at a time of national disaster, crowned the terrible defence of Sebastopol with eternal, undying glory is comprehensible enough. I repeat that it had not been my intention to trouble you in any way. But now, when I have lost all courage, and scarcely know to what side I shall turn, I have reminded myself how kind, cordial, and natural you always were with me. I thought of your ever gallant and noble impulses, and began to hope. I asked myself if you, who have now attained to so lofty and glorious a position, would repulse me, who am fallen so low. Forgive my boldness. Forgive this long, much too long, I realize, letter. And if you can do anything for me, do it, I implore you. I have yet another great request. Don't refuse it me. Recall me sometimes to your brother Adolf Ivanovich's remembrance, and tell him that I still love him as before, and often found him among my memories during the 4 years in prison, when in spirit I would live my whole past over again, day by day and hour by hour. But he knows himself how dearly I love him. I do happen to know that he has lately been ill. Is he well again? Is he alive? Forgive me this request also. But I know not through whom I may attain my heart's desire and so turn to you. I am aware that this letter is a grave breach of discipline. A common soldier writes to an adjutant general. But you are generous-hearted, and I confide in that. With deepest respect and the sincere thanks of a Russian, I remain Your Excellency's most devoted servant, Fyodor Dostoevsky. Totleben's minute ran, His Majesty is pleased to order me to suggest to the Minister of War that Fyodor Dostoevsky be promoted to the rank of ensign in a regiment of the Second Army Corps. Should this not be possible, he is to be transferred to the civil service with the rank of an official of the 14th class. In both cases, he is to be permitted to employ himself in literature, and is to be given the right to print his works on condition of their generally lawful tendency.